And hello there, Peter Mansbridge here. You are just moments away from the latest episode of The Bridge. It's Thursday, your turn, and your turn this week is about books. Your favorite Canadian book coming right up. And hello there, good Thursday to you from Toronto today. I'm Peter Mansbridge. This is your turn on The Bridge. And it's quite something, you know. We've started this, you know, kind of question of the week at the beginning of the year, and they've all been really successful, but nothing like this. I'm telling you, I've been swamped this week by your emails about books. And, you know, we check them all. We vet as much as we can that comes into The Bridge. And these are all real books by real Canadians. And there's some obvious ones. You know, names that will be familiar to all of you. But there are some new ones here, which is great. It's the whole idea behind this. You've seen a book in your lifetime. You've read a book in your lifetime by a Canadian that you think, wow, this is great. Other people should know about this. Well, that's what this program is designed to do. It's kind of spread the word on some of the books that are out there. They don't have to be recent. They can be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. But if they've impressed you and you want to share that knowledge, that's what this program's for. So anyways, I was saying we've been swamped. And every week since we started this, we've been swamped with letters, but nothing like this. In fact, there were so many letters that even after going through the vetting process, even going through the kind of weeding out some, there's still way more, I believe, than we have time for in one show. So we either just drop a whole bunch, or we say, you know what, this is a two-week process. We'll continue this on next week. Now, we'll make a decision on that at the end of this hour. We'll see how far we get through the list of those letters. Not every letter has made this grouping, but I don't know. It's such a subjective thing saying, you know, only the best have. It's only the ones that kind of interest me. And those are the ones that are on here. And there is some bias towards new writers. There are some people who write every week, no matter the question. And that's okay. There's no harm in that. But the others who are clearly listeners, and they've just been spurred on to say, you know what, I really want to enter my thought on this. So that's where we're going. All right, so that's this is your Thursday program. And Random Ranter is here, of course. He's got something to talk about, something topical to talk about. And we'll get to him later in the program. Because this is your turn. Okay, let's get started. Marnie Kell from Oakville, Ontario. Where the Falcon Flies by Adam Schultz is my recommendation to Canadians. Adam departs from the north shore of Lake Erie with the goal of canoeing, yes, canoeing, to Labrador through the Niagara River, Lake Ontario, the St. Lawrence River, and on to Labrador. Inspired by watching a peregrine falcon flying by in migration, he sets out in early spring and is physically by himself on this journey. I am learning history, geography, the activity of canoeing, the kind nature of Canadians that he meets along the way. I honestly am in awe of Adam's ability, knowledge, and stamina, paddling for many hours each day and living sometimes on water, granola bars, and almonds. It's a beautiful read. It's new. It's been in the last year. It's up there on the bestseller list many weeks over the last year. Where the Falcon Flies by Adam Schultz. Brian Dickinson of Edmonton. The Turcotts, the remarkable story of a horse racing dynasty by Curtis Stock. Curtis Stock is a Canadian horse racing Hall of Fame inductee and 11-time Sovereign Award winning writer for Best Thoroughbred Story of the Year. And the book and the story, of course, of the Turcotts from Drummond, New Brunswick, who all found success as jockeys. Ron was the most famous, riding Secretariat, often thought of as the finest racer in history, to a Triple Crown in 1973, 51 years ago now. 51 years ago. It seems like yesterday, watching Secretariat. Nora Large of Ottawa. The one book I would highly recommend is The Power of Story by Harold R. Johnson. He was born and raised in northern Saskatchewan to a Swedish father and a Cree mother. Through storytelling, Harold shares how these shape of or distort, create or recreate every aspect of human life, from personal to social to political structuring our societies. Andrew Zettel of Waterloo, Ontario. The great Canadian book I'm recommending is Both My Houses by Sean O'Sullivan, a unique and fascinating memoir. Sean O'Sullivan was a MP, a member of Parliament, from 72 to 77. First elected at just 20 years old, the youngest MP at the time. He left politics to become a Catholic priest. Sadly, he passed away from leukemia in 1989, age 37, but not before becoming a member of the Order of Canada. The book is a really interesting look at partisanship, leadership styles, and public service in both the House of Commons and the House of God. I can tell you firsthand that Sean O'Sullivan was an amazing guy. I was in Ottawa during those years as a parliamentary correspondent, so I got to know Sean O'Sullivan. He was everyone's friend. You know, he kind of crossed the partisan lines. Everybody loved Sean, and people were devastated at his fight against cancer, and then when he lost it in, you know, 77. Great guy. Duff Jones from London, Ontario writes, there are several books that I considered, but the one I landed on is Station 11 by British Columbia's Emily St. John Mandel. The story begins in Toronto's Elgin Theatre during a performance of King Lear, just as a global pandemic is beginning. The novel shifts between that time period and 20 years later, with what remains of civilization following the devastation of the Georgia flu. At its core, the novel is about how art, whether drama, music, comics, or novels, is so essential to understanding what it means to be human. While civilization crumbles, people use art to remain connected. Ken Pelischok from Newstadt, Ontario. Just one book? I'm tempted to create several email accounts so I could submit more. We'd catch you in the vetting process, Ken. But I'll respect the rules and suggest that National Treasure, Margaret Macmillan's book, The War That Ended Peace, The Road to 1914, is an important read. I have a hunch that a book about how a time of prolonged and unprecedented prosperity and peace can quickly turn into a powder keg exploding into global conflict. Well, that might come in handy soon enough. Peter Tofano in Burlington, Ontario. I would recommend Pierre Burton's The National Dream. Burton tells Canada's history through the story of building the Transcontinental Railway. It's a book that tells stories of our first prime ministers, real estate speculation, media biases, immigration, massive projects funded by private and public sectors, and more. Reading the book makes one feel that not much has changed to this day, politics especially. But readers will appreciate the nuanced history of all the different parts of the country and how the country came together. Boy, Pierre Burton, so many books, so much good reading. And his way of putting drama into history, as if you need it, but putting drama into history and telling stories of history in a kind of a very, I don't know what's the best way to say it, Well, it just fascinating to read his story, because it doesn't read like a history book. It reads like a book, you know, a piece of drama. That's Burton. And as you'll see, more than a few people reference some of Pierre Burton's books. Michael Belenke in Winnipeg. Folks need to read The Last Spike by Pierre Burton. This book demonstrates what exceptional effort, patience, cooperation, sacrifices, empowerment of people, policymakers, and teamwork did to unify this country. The undivided attention, time taken, and patience to overcome the obstacles, risks, challenges, including the avoidance of last-second bankruptcy the builders gave to the effort, shows very much why we're having difficulty in dealing with our challenges today. One of the previous Moore Butts conversations spoke to it plainly. Can't remember if it was James or Gerald who said, "We're too impatient and want too many results too fast, hacking, knifing each other too much, instead of focusing on the issues with our undivided attention to take the time, the patience, sustainment of effort, cooperative teamwork, trust, accountability, and effective employment of people to build something great like the railway that unified this country and helped deal with our problems effectively in those days. Our politicians and businesses have gotten away from those efforts that built the railway and need to return to it if we're ever going to effectively deal with our challenges going forward. Keep this country together, sustain its greatness, and demonstrate mature world leadership." Barbara Lynch in Souris, Manitoba. And if you're not sure where Souris is, there are a number of Souris's in the country, right? There's one in PEI as well. Souris, Manitoba is about, I don't know, almost 3 hours west of Winnipeg in southern Manitoba. My book choice is The Night Wanderer by Drew Hayden Taylor. This book is fiction and a hard book to put down once started. I read it in two sittings. It's about an old Aboriginal vampire going home and how home has changed. It's a great story. Ed Fontaine in Vancouver. The nonfiction book of The Gray Seas Under by Farley Mowat. Now, that's all Ed wrote. But the book is about the rescue missions of a deep-sea salvage tug that saved hundreds of lives during two decades of service in the North Atlantic. One of Farley Mowat's many books. Craig Richardson, London, Ontario. But he's a snowbird. He's in Naples, Florida right now. Craig writes, "After consuming a great deal of Canadian-authored books in my 64 years, this was a difficult decision. My father passed away in 2015 and had an extensive book collection. When I was sorting through his books, I came across one I'd never seen before by Pierre Burton, entitled Why We Act Like Canadians, released in 1987, yet as pertinent today as it was then. After reading this short story several years ago and thinking about the question you posed, I have to say this is a book that I would appreciate that all Canadians and even our neighbors to the south would put on their must-read list. Very simply, Pierre reminds us through this very simple but well-researched letters to his American friend Sam, who in this case is, of course, Uncle Sam, of all the aspects of being Canadian that makes us unique. From history to geography, from our culture to our politics, he eloquently explains why we act like Canadians." Heather Pizzuti in Windsor, Ontario. "I would like to recommend a children's book called There Were Monkeys in My Kitchen, written by Sherry Fitch and illustrated by Mark Mongeau." Here's a sample from the book. Love this. "There were monkeys in my kitchen. They were climbing up the walls. They were dancing on the ceiling. They were bouncing basketballs." The story is a delightful tale about the contrast between calm and chaos with wonderful illustrations. Young readers don't stay young forever, but the books inside them never leave. Yvonne Clifford in Cambridge, Ontario. I highly recommend The Secret World of Og by, wait for it, Pierre Burton, written in 1961. This book takes five siblings on a magical journey to a world that exists under their backyard. The magical world is called Og. This book is filled with so many wonderful parts that stretch the imagination. My favorite part was when lost items from the household are found in the secret world of Og. I remember as a young person never being too upset if something was missing around the house, because I knew it was being well used down in the secret world of Og. After reading the book to my children, I continued this idea, and hence a great way to feel positive about missing toys and comic books. As I age, this secret world of Og may become more useful, as I seem to lose things on a regular basis. Can you imagine how many pairs of reading glasses are down there in the secret world of Og? Or that missing sock. I still don't know where all those socks go in the dryer. Joseph Vermeulen in Airdrie, Alberta. Airdrie's it's just north of Calgary. My book recommendation, while it may be unorthodox, is to find a book by an independent Canadian author, any independent author. And for goodness sakes, leave an honest review so the algorithm notices. You might be the one whose support allows another Canadian novel to come into the world by encouraging someone and telling them that their work does matter. And it does, because any culture needs a diverse set of people to tell its stories. Oh, that's a nice point, Joseph. Good for you. Lucy Bermeo in Edmonton. The one Canadian book I recommend to all is Scarborough by Catherine Hernandez. This is a fictional story which revolves around a daycare led by a young Muslim woman in a low-income neighborhood where she serves a variety of children. It explores themes of class, sexuality, racism, as well as how we can overcome our prejudices through relationships with community. Harold Gold in Calgary. It would be hard to pick just one book from a Canadian author, so I'm going to cheat, sort of. I'd recommend the Reader's Digest Great Canadian Adventures for my submission. This book is a collection of condensed short stories from Canadian authors like Farley Mowat, Pierre Burton, and Stephen Leacock, just to name a few. It's a great introduction or refresher of Canadian history. It's a great read, and while it's no longer in print, you can find it in a number of secondhand bookstores. You know, we checked. You can see it on Amazon for one, so it's out there. I should say at this point, I know some of you are going, can you slow down, Peter? I'm trying to write all these down. Which is funny, saying slow down to me. But here's the point. It's on the podcast. It's always going to be there for reference. You can always find it, right? For those of you listening on Sirius XM, we also put it up as a podcast at the same time. So you can find The Bridge on whatever podcast platform you use. Okay? Michelle York in Lorette, Manitoba. That's southeast, not far southeast of Winnipeg. My book recommendation from a Canadian author would have to be The Orenda by Joseph Boyden. It's one of those books that you just can't put down, all-consuming while you're in it, and you are heartbroken when it inevitably comes to its end. Joseph Boyden obviously did his research for this, transporting the reader to a very different time in Canada's history. The Orenda is a book that changes you for the better for reading it. I remember interviewing Joseph Boyden at the time that book came out, and it was, you know, it's a great book. He was a fascinating guest. Since then, of course, he's become very controversial because, though he says he is Indigenous, there's no proof that he is. Wab Kanoo, now Manitoba's premier, says, I myself have been curious about Joseph Boyden's ancestry, but at the same time, I recognize that he is a part of our community by virtue of the relationships he has formed with many people. Eileen Rowe doesn't pinpoint her location except to say she's in Prince Edward Island. Well, that pretty well pinpoints it. It's not a big place. Anyway, Eileen writes, I know as an islander, or an islander, I should say Lucy Maud Montgomery is my favorite author. But there are so many great Canadian authors and books. Since I have to choose one, then I would have to say David Adams Richards, Mercy Among the Children. This author captures the culture and politics of a small town and its effects on a particular family over generations. I felt the author's intent was to provoke reflection of our capacity for empathy and compassion. It's our nature to judge others without understanding. Take a good, tough look in the mirror and perhaps we will make this world a better place. Peggy Homans in Halifax. Singling out one book from among so many is an almost impossible task, but I've decided to select Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. Atwood was so ahead of her time. I read the book when it was published in 1985, and it did go somewhat over my head. When it appeared as a TV program many years later, I reread the book, and eureka! I recommend it to readers for so many reasons. To appreciate Atwood as a visionary and the impact this book has made through today's screen versions, to understand that a Canadian writer who grew up amongst Northern Ontario remoteness became renowned throughout the literary world while having temporary stays outside Canada. She remains in Toronto and is her unique self. Ultimately, with The Handmaid's Tale, she demonstrated the writer's ability to interpret actual events as a warning for the future, and that in this era, we can read, understand, and see contemporary attitudes that are no longer the challenges of 1985. Caroline is from Montreal, but she's currently living in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and while she shared with me her last name, I understand why she prefer not to have it aired. But here's what Caroline writes. The one book I think everyone should read now is actually a trilogy from the great Margaret Atwood called The Mad Adam Trilogy. The three books were published between 2003 and 2013. And give us a story of environmental destruction, genetic manipulation, and societal dysfunction that could very well be our reality someday. It is so insightful and powerful that I felt like Atwood went to the future and came back to tell us how we're going to destroy our own society, and all this with her incomparable talent for storytelling. Suzanne Forsyth, Moncton. My recommendation is Acadian Driftwood by Tyler LeBlanc. He tells the story of his Acadian family during the time of the expulsion from 1755 to 1763. I've grown up here in New Brunswick, and I was interested in learning more about Acadian history. Don Campbell in Kelowna, BC. The Future Is Now by Bob MacDonald. I drew a great deal of inspiration from this book. It's a fresh take on all the positives that we can do with the technology that's available today to make our environment better. We hear so much defeatist talk about, oh, what can we do? Bob answers that in spades in a funny and intelligent, engaging style. Isn't he the greatest? Bob was the science correspondent for the National during the time I was there, a good part of the time I was there. And I used to just love my sessions with Bob on the air. And then the special one-on-ones we used to do once a year where people would write in with their questions for Bob, you know, like the why is the sky blue questions. And Bob would tell us great stories on that. Miss those days. Ted Pfeiffer in Saskatoon. The one book every Canadian must read is Clearing the Plains by James Daschuk. It deals with the Canadian government's role in developing policies leading to ethnic cleansing and genocide of this country's indigenous peoples. It's absolutely eye-opening. For many years, I've been trying to educate myself about the challenges our First Nations men and women continually face. I suppose I'm also trying to engage in the process of truth and reconciliation. Perhaps educating ourselves will break some prejudices, or at least lend itself to reconsidering what many may think they know about this subject. Brody Otway in Prince George, B.C. The book every Canadian should read is Chris Hadfield's An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth. I'm a locomotive engineer, pilot, search and rescue team leader, and helicopter longline rescue technician, and I find the lessons that Chris Hadfield imparts in his book to be absolutely invaluable in both my personal and professional life. Even if someone has no interest in a new life lesson, Chris Hadfield is not only one of Canada's most accomplished sons, he's also a tremendous storyteller. And hearing the story of his life and extraordinary career told by him makes for a fun and fascinating read that any Canadian would enjoy. You're so right about that. I'm lucky to have Chris as a friend. And man, when we get together just listening to his stories, it's fantastic. And reading them, even better. Barry Hoffman in Burlington, Ontario. Tim Cook of the Canadian War Museum has written a brilliant trilogy about Canada's armed forces in the Second World War, all exemplary pieces of historical writing, and eminently readable, too. However, since the exercise is to pick one book, it would be the second of that trilogy, Fight to the Finish. It covers the Canadian battles through the defeat of Italy and the liberations of Belgium and Holland, to name a few highlights. While some of these topics were barely touched upon in school, if at all, these are our histories that need to be presented. It helps immensely that Dr. Cook's writing style is so engaging. It sure is. He's another great one. I've worked with Tim Cook a few times, including having him as a guest on programs that I've done, including The Bridge, but also back in the TV days, helping understand certain stories that we were covering in terms of our history. And it's interesting, of course, that Barry Hoffman writes from Burlington because Burlington's the twin city of Apeldoorn in the Netherlands, which Canadians liberated in 1945, and where Canadians are still revered. I was there in both 95 and 2005 for the 50th and 60th anniversaries of the liberation. Also there for the 70th in 2015. The parade through the town of Canadian veterans, unforgettable. Jeff Goldhar in Toronto. A new book I recently read, My Effin' Life by Geddy Lee. I was never a huge Rush fan to begin, but I am now a Geddy Lee fan. He tells the story of his life growing up in North Toronto, which I can relate to. Unlike me, though, he had immigrant parents who met and fell in love and married while being prisoners during the Holocaust. An incredible story. Geddy, really named Gary, but his mother had a thick accent, is a rock star. He sure is. Thanks, Jeff, an old buddy from the CBC days. David Lepine in Ogden, Quebec. The Innocents by Michael Crummy. Crummy writes historical fiction novels about Newfoundland. This book is captivating and tells the story of two young orphans in a remote outport struggling to survive. It gives us a vivid picture of just how tough life was in the 1800s. It is extremely well written and is a part of Canada that deserves to be better known to all Canadians. Okay, time for our break. But see what I mean? Lots of letters, and there's tons more to come. So clearly, this is going to go into a second week. But right now, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome Welcome back. You're listening to The Bridge, the Thursday Your Turn episode. This week's question was, name one book, one Canadian book by a Canadian author that you think would be good for all Canadians to read, as it tells you something about our country. Or about the state of the world these days. Lots of Canadians have deep feelings about that. You're listening on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks, or on your favorite podcast platform. Still to come, the random ranter. We'll get to him in a few moments. But right now, more letters from you. Marilyn Wallace in Fannie Bay, British Columbia. Marilyn gets on the show almost every week. Obviously, it's because she has something important to say. But I just can't resist the name of that town. Fannie Bay, British Columbia. Anyway, here's what Marilyn writes. The Right Honorable Beverly McLaughlin's biography, Truth Be Told, is the story of a prairie farm girl who rose to the highest court in Canada. Her memoir includes fascinating stories about her experiences as the first female Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, while at the same time it's deeply personal in the account of her life's journey. This book is particularly important to me because in so many ways her childhood was a parallel of mine. The tiny library in her hometown of Pincher Creek was her window to the world. I love the idea that a public service like that would help mold the character of a woman who would go on to contribute so much to our country. Her story is truly a legacy. You know, there was another famous person who came out, grew up in Pincher Creek, Alberta, around the same time. David Holton, my old colleague at the CBC, the chief, former chief political correspondent, one of the greats, whose book about his father's time during the Second World War, Matthew Holton, another great correspondent, is a fascinating read, should be made into a movie. Kate Wilson in Toronto. Best books often resonate not just because of great writing by the author, but also the time, place, and experience of the reader. Probably Robertson Davies' Fifth Business resonated with me the most during my first year at the University of Toronto as an older student. I finally started to really appreciate Canadiana, the unique style of our writers, and the opportunity to learn more about the environment I experienced. Percy Phillips in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba. A Fair Country, Telling Truths About Canada by John Ralston Saul should be required reading by every Canadian. The book argues that Canada is a Métis nation influenced and shaped by Aboriginal ideas and conventions. He argues Canada is much more Aboriginal in nature than European. This is a challenging read because he is persuasive and makes his case convincingly and should change the way Canadians see themselves, their country, and what Canada could be. Carl Pokorsky in Bridge North, Ontario, near Peterborough. If you're seeking a captivating journey through Canada's past, look no further than The History of Canada in 10 Maps by Adam Schultz. Remember him? First author we mentioned today. Schultz skillfully navigates through the annals of time from the Viking era to Confederation, utilizing authentic maps sourced from American and Canadian archives. This book not only enlightens us on the discovery and formation of our nation, but also fosters a deep understanding of our collective heritage. As we grasp the intricate tapestry of our history, we are poised to embrace a future of greater unity and cohesion from coast to coast. Dive into this compelling narrative and embark on a voyage that transcends time, illuminating the path to a more unified Canada. Thanks for that, Carl. I didn't know about that book by Adam, and I will look it up myself. Laura Wilson in Winnipeg. I fell in love with the works of the late Richard Wagamese, an Ojibwe novelist, while exploring the issue of reconciliation. Richard wrote many wonderful books, but the one that touched me is his novel Ragged Company. Richard grew up in the child welfare system, and by the time he was 16, he was living on the street doing whatever he could to survive. Ragged Company is a compassionate account of four unhoused main characters and their unlikely friendship with a journalist. Wagamese wrote brilliantly about their friendships, their traumas, and their losses. As a retired social worker who worked in the child welfare system for over 30 years and who had the honor of working for thousands of Richards, this book sang to me. Rick Howard in Salmon Arm, BC. My suggestion is Where To From Here by Bill Morneau. Mr. Morneau, who was the Canadian finance minister in Justin Trudeau's government from 2015 to 2020, gives us a fair insider's view of the leadership style of Justin Trudeau, a style that leads the reader to understand why this Trudeau era has been fraught with so much mismanagement, leading at times to scandals such as SNC-Lavalin, WE Charities, and several conflict of interest issues. Volker Ross Arnold in Sooke, BC, down there in the southern tip of Vancouver Island, beautiful. The book I chose is a wonderful and passionate story of one couple's journey from operating a popular local food truck to becoming the owners of a renowned local restaurant. It's called The Sobo Cookbook, and it's written by Canadian chef Lisa Ahir of Tofino, BC, with Andrew Morrison. From the beginning, I realized this wasn't your average cookbook. After a beautiful foreword written by Sarah McLaughlin, Chef Lisa shares some of her personal history, which helped shape this book's palette of over 100 tasty offerings. I'm getting hungry here already. It's a great read, even if cooking isn't your thing. Over the last 8 years, I've made well over half of the recipes in this book. My family can't wait for me to make more of the fish tacos and the smoked salmon chowder, among others. Yeah, what time will those be ready? We'll be right over. What else is there to say? Memorable food is a universal language. Robbie Brooks. Where's Robbie writing from? Robbie's writing from Edmonton. A couple of months ago, you had author Ken McGugan on the pod. Sure did. And I'd echo your recommendation of his book, Fatal Passage, on John Ray and the hunt for the Franklin Expedition. In addition to fascinating untold sides of the Arctic story, it's essential background reading on the formative years of this great country and the people like John Ray who walked back and forth across it. Absolutely. Love Ken McGugan stuff. Darren Schemmer. He's from Vancouver, but he's currently in Taipei. My recommendation book is The Resurrection of Joseph Bourne by Jack Hodgins. Although it's been almost 40 years since I read it, it was the first title to pop into my mind upon hearing your question. The rainy Vancouver Island setting, the magic realism, some laugh-out-loud passages, all in a kind human story. It has stayed with me. Phyllis Umfrewall in Saskatoon. A good read is a book you wish you did not end. A great read is a book that stays with you for years. The author I chose is Margaret Lawrence. The book that has stayed with me for decades is The Diviners. I chose this book because it's good and it's a great read. I believe all Canadians would enjoy a Margaret Lawrence book. They are all good reads. You're here. Sandra Thomas in Peterborough, Ontario. I'll recommend a book I read recently. It's actually the CBC Massey Lectures from 2023 in book form. The Age of Insecurity, Coming Together as Things Fall Apart by Astra Taylor. Taylor's thesis is that until we increase well-being for all, everyone will suffer and be insecure. The status quo isn't working for anyone. Drawing on her experiences in both the U.S. and Canada, Taylor explains how current systems promote insecurity and destabilization. She also imagines that we could do life differently. Read this book, says Sandra. David Blatherwick in Coquitlam, B.C. I would recommend The Concubine's Children by Canadian author and economist Denise Chong. I very much enjoyed the book, and I feel that I understand immigrants to Canada so much better. A must read for any of us born here. You're right about that, Dave. That book was written, gosh, Denise, how long ago was that? 15 years ago? Still stands today. Great book. Anne Marie Klein in Toronto. Neil Peart's Ghost Rider travels on the healing road from the drummer for the legendary Canadian band Rush. Was recommended to me over 10 years ago from someone who had faced a deep personal loss and had read it to overcome it. I've read it 3 times in the past decade, each one at a moment in life when I was dealing with overwhelming grief. It is a poignant memoir that also combines the best descriptive elements of a travelogue. Peart chose to hop on his motorcycle after the death of his daughter and wife within 11 months of one another, and the reader is treated to his healing road in a physical and psychological manner as he crosses Canada, then rides down the West Coast all the way to Central America before returning home. I've shared it with at least 3 friends when I felt they too needed the comfort of his words, and I'm certain I will feel the need to turn its pages again in years to come. Lisa Spalik from Penticton, B.C. My book recommendation is The Inconvenient Indian by Thomas King. I first read it when it came out with my book club. It created a very thoughtful discussion with not everyone in agreement with Mr. King's take on things. I, however, found it a must-read to understand the events that shape our country and how little we have been taught our true history. It could stand alone as a high school course, for sure. Inez Kaczynski in Didsbury, Alberta, at Central Alberta, about halfway point between Calgary and Red Deer. Where I live, I'm confronted often with COVID denialism and conspiracy theories. A book I'm reading right now is Doppelganger by Naomi Klein. In her usual well-researched and clearly written style, Klein manages to weave together threads of literature and history and sociology in a complex yet accessible analysis of how we've come to be in this state of conflicting polarization. And she does so with compassion and with love, essential for understanding and reconnection, which are so needed for society and for families to heal. You know what? I think I'm going to stop there for this week. But as I said, there are many more to come here, and we'll leave it open. If you've got something you want to send in to the mansbridgepodcast@gmail.com in terms of answering that question, name one book, Canadian book, Canadian author, that you think our listeners would enjoy and learn from. Keep it short, please. Name and location required. Have it in by 6 p.m. Wednesday, next Wednesday night. All right? We're going to leave it at that for this week. I mean, some fabulous letters, but, you know, barely half of them read so far. And these are just the ones that have made the final cut to get on the air. There are lots of others. Thanks so much for writing. I love it when you share your thoughts like this. Okay, it is Thursday, and that does mean, aside from your turn, we have his turn, the Random Ranter's turn. An issue that's about to come back onto the forefront of Canadian politics is, well, it relates to global warming, the environment, taxes. It relates to all of those things. And that's what the Random Ranter is on about this week. So with no further ado, here he is.
I'm a big believer in global warming, and I always have been. I mean, I don't know how you can deny it. Our climate is warming at a rate that is unprecedented in human history. Our storms are worse, our droughts are longer, and our floods are more extreme. Yet there are still people out there that won't accept it. But I'm not concerned about those people anymore. They're firmly in the minority. And as the predicted future increasingly becomes today's reality, their voices are fading away into obscurity, where they belong. The majority of us accept that we're the ones causing global warming. Which is great, because acknowledging the problem is the first step. But what is concerning to me is our reluctance to bear the cost of doing anything about it. And I'm talking specifically in this case about the carbon tax, because I feel like it's in serious jeopardy. Saskatchewan is defying federal law and refusing to collect it. And how long will it be before Alberta follows suit? Even the Liberal leader of Newfoundland is calling on the federal government to delay the planned increase in the tax. And I get it. I understand no one likes to pay more tax, especially with the cost of living these days. But the carbon tax is revenue neutral. It's about as milquetoast an approach to carbon mitigation as you can take. I mean, the majority of Canadians make money on it. Yet the pushback has been phenomenal. But come on, people. We need to change our ways. And the best way to get us to do that is by having our choices cost money. So I don't understand how you can believe in global warming, but be unwilling to pay a little more for that tank of gas in your half ton or your SUV. No one is saying you can't drive a gas guzzler. We're just saying that if that's your choice, then it should come at a cost. If you choose instead to drive something good on gas, or dare I say electric or hybrid, well, then it comes with a financial benefit. And that's all the carbon tax is, a stick for some and a carrot for others. Is it completely fair? No. Very few things in life are. But it's a baby step in the right direction. However, that said, I think the carbon tax is doomed. The timing is awful. Inflation is horrible. Interest rates are high. People are feeling squeezed. And even if you went all the way back to the Sheriff of Nottingham, you wouldn't find anyone that likes taxes, even the ones like the carbon tax that take from the rich and give to the poor. I don't know what it's going to take to make us change our ways. We've had a summer of smoke and flame, and by all indications, this year is going to be even worse. We're in the middle of a historical drought. We've had crazy floods, unprecedented storms. Major centers are facing serious water shortages. Insurance companies are pulling out of markets. Farmers are selling their herds. And by the looks of things, our next federal government will be made up of axe-wielding polyev conservatives, hostile to the thought of any kind of progressive action on the environment. So I'm left shaking my head. We need to change our ways. And doing nothing is the worst option, because storms, floods, droughts, fires, they all come at a cost, and I can guarantee you one thing, they are not revenue neutral.
Well, there you go, the Random Ranter's take for this week on the carbon tax. And as I said, we're about to hear a lot more about that in parliamentary debate in the next week or two. So that'll get you thinking one way or the other about that issue. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. For your turn, another one which I am constantly fascinated by your letters, and I love to get them, and I love getting a sense of who the listenership is and where they are. And as you saw again this week, they're from coast to coast to coast. You know, they really are. I love to hear your thoughts, and on something like this, you know, it's often been said that we're a country of readers, of those who love books. You know, Mark, my friend Mark Bogich, and I get to see that every once in a while whenever we come out with a new book, or Mark comes out with one of his, or I come out with one of mine. People love to read. They love to talk about what they've read. And that comes as a great joy to all of us. Okay, that's going to wrap it up. As I said, tomorrow it's Good Talk. Chantel is back. She's back from Iceland, and we will hear her thoughts on some of the issues that are making news on the national political front these days. And there's always something there to talk about. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Bruce Anderson, Chantel Hebert, Peter Mansbridge, all up for Good Talk tomorrow. That's it for this day. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you again 24 hours.